You go ahead and start.
Welcome to Leverage Masters, airing weekly on Tuesdays at 12 Eastern and on demand on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. Leverage Masters hosts Jack Humphrey and Gina Gaudio-Graves discuss leverage strategy with guest leveragists. Be sure to subscribe to Leverage Masters in your favorite podcatcher for great tips and case studies on using leverage to achieve your biggest goals much faster.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Leverage Masters. I'm your co-host, Gina Gaudio-Grace, the co-founder of Divizio, the affiliate network for companies doing good. We have got another fantastic episode ready for you. We have my co-host, Andrea Adams-Miller, the founder of the Red Carpet Connection, joining me. Hello, Andrea.
Hi. So I'm really excited about today because we have the opportunity to share some really cool things that are going on in the world and so forth. And I just want to double check with you that Crystal says she is on the line with us. And
that's interesting because I'm not seeing her on the control panel.
Okay. Well, she's coming now. So I resent her the phone number and she's coming. So really excited to have her while she's calling in. I'll go ahead and share a little bit about what's going on in the world for us, Gina. For those of you who are listening today and those of you who are listening in the future, obviously, it's no secret that people are going through COVID where people have been locked in and locked down for quite a while, and people are starting to release in different areas. And some of the panic and anxiety is going away, and some of it is increasing for people because now that they're out and in the world and so forth, it certainly creates a different way of seeing things and viewing things and so forth that we aren't always sure of what's happening. But the cool thing is that people are persevering and really finding ways to find positivity. And Gina, I know you have been really resilient to do great things and to help people with Divizio and all the other consulting things that you do as an amazing businesswoman and leader and connecting people and helping them achieve greater and bigger things during a time of lockdown and finding new ways to create business. I too have been doing that. It's kind of interesting. I had picked up 3 new publicity clients to help get them on stages right before the COVID lockdown, and we just needed to revamp, rethink, and be flexible and adaptable and create a new world for them without being able to go and speak on stages, and that's actually been going quite beautiful. We've been really had an opportunity to go back and look at foundation, the foundation of who we are and what we're doing, and that leads me to our guest that we're having today. Her name is Crystal Richards. And she's really amazing as far as helping people set their foundation. She's been described as the mindset and leadership mentor, a leadership expert. She's driven, she's brilliant, she's gifted, she's an amazing business coach, an innovative thinker, and a true leader. She's sought after by people who are international. International business transformation consulting for them. She's an inspirational speaker. She's a mentor, life coach, a published author, a recording artist, an engineer, a choreographer, a pastor, and an awarded humanitarian and a missionary. And in her free time, she does some other really cool, amazing things as well. She really does. She really is the epitome of epitome? I think that's right. Of a person, if you want something done, ask a busy person. And I've always said that that's what I represent. And it was really wonderful to meet Crystal and find someone who's even busier than I am and somehow manages to get it done. And that could be why, because she does get up and do demonstrations when she's speaking as a keynote speaker. She is just quite amazing, and I'm really excited to have her here, and she's also the chief operations officer for the Keep Smiling movement, and that is launching super huge big May 25th through May 31st this year here in this next week for those of you who are listening live, and for some of you it's in the moment and some of you it's in the past, and now you can look back and see all the smiles that we've created in the world with Crystal. So welcome to the show, Crystal. Yay,
thank you. Welcome, for having
Crystal.
Me. Wow, that was great.
Sounds like you're blacker like the rest of us.
What did you say?
It sounds like you're a slacker like the rest of us.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a complete slacker.
Yep. Absolutely. Every time I talk to her, she's laying around eating bonbons. This is what she does.
Too funny.
One of the things actually that's quite the opposite of that, talking about laying around eating bonbons, is this woman's hardly getting any rest because she's out there helping feed the world as well, because I didn't mention she also has her own called Full Color Movement. And why don't we start by talking about that, because you're really reaching out to other people, Full Color Movement International. Tell us about what you're doing with that.
Well, thank you so much, first of all, for having me today. It's been quite a whirlwind this morning already with a number of things I was doing, and it actually had to do with Full Color Movement International. So thank you for starting with that. I was scheduled to speak along with another gentleman related to what we've done with medical missions, telemedicine missions over in Africa. So part of what Full Color Movement does is local and foreign missions. This particular one was in Ghana. It was at the end of 2018, and there's been a lot of buzz of it in 2019, which led us to being invited to a conference in March for the HIMSS conference, actually, which there's normally 40 to 50,000 people at that conference. And so you can imagine that I was pretty bummed that we were not able to do that because of everything being shut down because of COVID. But this morning we did our recording of our session so that they could put it on their portal. So that was what we were doing. And so in that particular mission, we deployed a telemedicine unit over there where we were able to do basic vitals, as well as EKG and some other things related to gynecology as well. And so with that, we had hundreds of people. Some of them walked miles and miles on foot to be there. And so definitely with the two-day clinic that we had, we stayed overnight one of the nights and did our exams all through the night in order to make sure that everyone was seen. And so that was something we just got to do the recording for just this morning. So that was just kind of good to have those memories. And what you were saying, Andrea, about what we do here in feeding everyone is we have where we do homeless missions. So we all throughout the month, if there's families that need food boxes, we have a community center, so we have those available. Also, we do a luncheon for the homeless every first Saturday. So all throughout the month, we are negotiating and contacting people, and different people are volunteering for that. And again, since we're in COVID, we're not able to do our hot meals that we do, but we are doing the bagged snacks and lunches. So that's part of what we're doing there. And recently, because of COVID, we've connected with some other nonprofits, and we're doing COVID testing with some naturopath doctors related to the rapid antibody test. So we've done several big ones with some, it was really nice. It's just awesome to see, you know, that we're actually testing the homeless as well as veterans. So, the sometimes forgotten population is what we target related to our nonprofit. We've been able to test a number of homeless in several different clinics that we've done. And then we even did the veterans this couple weeks ago, and including again this Saturday, we'll be doing some testing of the general public. But mainly it's for the veterans.
Fantastic. I mean, I love that. I actually was talking with a couple other groups that are loving what we're doing with the Keep Smiling movement, and what more can we do for the veterans and the people who've been, you know, behind the scenes for us. So I'm always excited to hear more and more about what we're doing in the world as a whole and what people, you know, care about. So I love that you're doing that. So that leads me to, all right, so you do all these amazing things for so many other people, just from the kindness of your heart and to for your faith and, you know, what you and your husband do together. And then you're this businesswoman as well and have done some pretty cool things. By the way, she can really drill things down for you. And I don't mean in a negative way, but like drill it down, like this is the way it's got to be. And she can be quite on point so that you make sure that you meet your measures. And she's been referred to as Sergeant Crystal Richardson. And that is certainly what I have found to be the case, because she wants us to succeed and certainly puts us in a position for that. So tell us about how you're, you know, what you're doing with your clients and how they find you and, you know, and really how that showed up for you that you're doing this now.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting, even when I look back at it myself. I mean, my main goal in life is to help people as well as companies, but, you know, to be the best version of yourself. So the best version of yourself as a person or the best version of your company. And so just growing up as a child in Flint, Michigan, it was not the best of places, the best of neighborhoods, and that was where they had the dirty water problem, and it's still having some ramifications related to that. But my parents instilled in me the art of excellence, the art of excellence. So no matter what it was that you did, do it in an excellent manner. And they sent me to kindergarten with my little plastic briefcase and told me, you know, you can be anything you want to be, and you can do anything that you want to do in life. And so I believe them. And just ventured off to do that. And along the way, even starting in kindergarten, I started being bullied because, you know, I had my little briefcase, my little long hair, and my cute little outfits, some of them that were handmade by my mom and grandma. You know, I was really looking pretty nice, you know, as a little kid, but some of the kids did not like that. And so I ended up having issues with that. But what that caused me to do was to always look out for the underdog and always look to see, you know, what can I do to help someone else, because I kind of needed help myself of pulling myself up to still have the confidence to do and be what, you know, what I could, what I felt that I could based on being encouraged by my parents. And so as I grew, I started several business. My brother and I were kidpreneurs, mowing lawns and shoveling snow and things of that nature. So I always had that in me. And even in college, I did people's resumes and cover letters and had a number of co-op jobs at various companies. And so I've always worked. And what that helped me to do was when I graduated from college, I had a number of job offers. And the one company that I decided to work for as an engineer, when I stepped in the door, what happened a week after I interviewed was the manager quit. So my first job at a medical company in Indiana, my first job was a manager. So I've been in management basically my whole career and then up into executive management and had C-suite positions. So I'm just saying all of that to say that I've had a lot of experiences over the last 38, 40 years, actually starting out working my way through college. So that was when I was 15. I'm 55 now. My husband tells me, I thought I was already 56, but I'm not 56 yet. But he told me I was 55 still. But what I'm saying is that with all of that experience, I've been able to put together programs, whether it's any kind of company, really, to help people become better versions of themselves. And so whether it's analytical, whether it's something that's engineering in nature or an invention, or if you just need a business plan or marketing plan or operational excellence put in place or something related to HR, all of those things are what you need to run a company. And I've had so many different experiences. I kind of sometimes feel like Forrest Gump because, like, he knew everybody and had done everything, right? And so it's where you can put all of those practices in place depending on your client. So the biz workup we do as part of our company, buildthatbiz.com, that's buildthatbiz.com, that is very key because a lot of times what people come to meet with me on when they need coaching, whether it's a person or someone for their company, what they come to me for is not always what we end up working on because there's other things that come up in that are foundational items that they need to work on. And so, again, because of all of that experience, I'm able to do that, as well as I have a huge network of people that if I don't know the answer, I definitely can get that.
Lovely. You know, it's fantastic. So you've done so many things, from, you know, help them with business plans. You helped me when I was first writing a business plan for the Keep Smiling movement. I mean, I had words and I had information and facts and figures. I just didn't know how to put it in the right areas. And your direction in helping me categorize it and to make the charts and to add the SWOT was extremely helpful, so that we started getting some attention on what was the possibility of what we could create in the future, that I was able to expand upon that. And I know you do that for other people as well, and as doing presentations for them as well, so they can map out proposals and reach out to different things that they can do in the world. How did that skill set come about? Like, what made it so that you were able to take the information and the consulting that you do and be able to put it into visual presentations?
Yeah, so a part of all of that I mentioned that I've done since high school, all of it required presentations. So I've been presenting for 40 some years. So it becomes second nature to me. And there was a potential client that needed something, and she saw something that I had done, and she said, "Well, how long did it take you to do that?" And I was like, "Well, that took me less than an hour." And she was just completely flabbergasted. I can't remember what that word is, but she, you know, was really in awe over that. But it's because I've been doing it for so long. And I use just my own patented technique. It's not patented, but to me it is, related to evaluate, evict, and elevate. Those are the three steps I use no matter what I'm doing. There's sub-steps in that. But when you work with a client, when you need a presentation of any type, business plan or marketing plan, anything that is that you need, you can use these tools. Which includes Six Sigma, it includes engineering, it includes creativity, communication, and connecting, and just really understanding what's going on behind the scenes with that client. So there's a way that I go about doing that, to do what I call a spider diagram. And based on that diagram, I'm able to really connect the dots of what that person needs and then put it in presentation form, because that's really easy for me to do. And just use a couple really simple 2-3 bullet points to display their ideas. So it's using the evaluate, evict, and elevate method.
You know, I'm a little intrigued because years ago, gosh, I started, I have a system as well that I've used for years, and I call it spider webbing. And so we'll have to talk even more after this, because now I'm like, oh, we should put our spiders together, spidey senses together.
My spider is a big spider, yeah.
Yeah, because I quickly learned that how things connect and how things line up. And then I also had created some things with shells. Like if you cut a shell in half, you can see, you know, the fine point of the fine details, and then you come out to the, you know, the bird's eye view. But along the way, you see these little tiny little segmented lines of like where the slug or the animal or whatever that fit in it used to increment itself along. And I consider those as layers as well. And it kind of reminds me of that spider web kind of, so to speak. So I'm really intrigued to know more about that. So go ahead and tell us a little bit more about that, a little expansion on that, and then we'll have to follow up later.
Yeah, so part of it has to do with being able to look at the big picture. Okay, so there's obviously details in anything that someone's trying to do, and I've written a number of books, and so even in writing a book, you have to have an outline, but you don't just really start with the outline. You really have to know, as people talk about, your why, and you really have to understand, you know, what is your purpose for doing this in the first place, and when you kind of dig into that, that starts some of the middle section of that that web, if you will. And then looking at the details, there's pockets or buckets or ends of those webs based on how you categorize what you have. And so I just let people talk, and I categorize as they talk. And then what I do is, based on those categories, dig a little deeper in each one of those. and continue to work on the web based on those categories. And so once we're done and I show them what they created, it's just an awesome experience for them. And then we can put together detailed project plans on what they need to get done.
It's so fun to, learn everything that people do and how they make things happen. It just excites me. I just get a thrill out of learning about how people function and how they think and how their brains work to create things that, we never maybe thought were possible for people. So super fun with that. So you mentioned your book. So I only have one of your books. I have Flint Out Loud, and I'm holding it in my hands. And so it's 11 controversial lessons on strategy, leadership, and success from the Briefcase Chronicles. So we already know a little bit about your briefcase from you being young and little to Sergeant K. So I didn't, now that I think about it, I did recall seeing that Sergeant was on this book, but it hadn't dawned on me again until I met you. And I was like, wow, you're so blunt and awesome with just telling us like it is. And you said, well, I have been referred to as Sergeant. And so tell us more about Flint Out Loud, because, I live in Ohio, so I think Flint, Michigan. And so, tell us what Flint represents and how that's portrayed for you.
So Flint, for me, represents an awesome, awesome, and amazing place. And in the news, like I said lately, with the water problem and some other things, and with the motor companies leaving that area, it's really had, its challenges. But in that book, that particular book, and in a number of my books, I refer back to my childhood because I had an awesome childhood. I mean, I did have where I was bullied, and so that part really just kind of suppressed in my mind until like 5 years ago. I started, trying to really understand more about myself and why I do certain things the way I do and why I don't do other things, and started to having to recall, all of what happened in my childhood. So, but Flint Out Loud talks about an amazing place that I was raised and how my parents did not use the words strategy, leadership, and success. But I learned various lessons from them, from my teachers, from my pastor, from our neighbors, from my neighborhood. All of it was just riddled with lessons of strategy, leadership, and success. So when I say controversial, a lot of them, if you look at everything as a lesson learned, then it helps you to better navigate life and better understand, what can I learn from that and then apply that learning and move on. And so I was doing that by how my parents helped to navigate our life as children, but didn't know that that was what they were really doing. I just thought I was having like a great time, but there were all these different learnings that were taking place. So the last 5 years since I've been analyzing, if you will, my life and my childhood, all these lessons came up, and so I'm like, I really need to put these in a book. And so it really encapsulates all of the great things that I was taught. And so there is a section in there is about, what I learned from Flint. What did it teach me? So there's like a whole bunch of different lessons that are summarized also in the back of the book. And part of it, strategy, leadership, and success. I've been all over the world. I've taught and trained and done missions in about 25 countries or so, and my show, radio show, one of them, the other one is being launched in June, but the first one, there's people from about 40 different countries or so that have listened in, thousands of listeners, and some of them have commented. And so part of what is in this book is over 100 definitions of success, and it comes from people all over the world that have been a part of my life. And it's very interesting on how people look at success, but you look at it based on your life and how you were raised. And so there was something that I could connect to in every single one of those definitions. So it's not just because it's my book, but I think it's a pretty cool book.
Well, you know, for people who love books that have more than words, I mean, you have charts, you have images, you have points of distinction, you have, you know, bullet points as well as numbered points as well as photographs, you know, and directional points as well. And so it's visually appeasing and interesting as well as knowledge rich. So for people who are looking for that, it's definitely got a lot in it. And to be perfectly honest, the book is so full of really, really great information. I honestly, my only critique of it is a positive one, is that because there's so much information shoved into this, it really is like you have, imagine you're going on a trip for a month and you've shoved everything into a briefcase. It is so full that I would love to see this be one of those super big suitcases that you have to check, you know, so in a hardback big book, complete with a workbook and an action guide. I mean, I could see this as a total online course. Gina, if you were looking at this book, Gina would be like, oh, yeah, Crystal could totally be making this a university. So, and you may already have that on your plate. So there you go.
Yeah,
absolutely, Andrea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that with that. Go ahead.
Gina, did you have some questions as well? Because I've been talking a lot.
Well, what I would suggest, Crystal, if you're doing what Andrea just talked about, download my book called The Amazing Traffic Vortex. The vortex model of doing business is a model that I uncovered by studying already successful businesses. And to do what Andrea just talked about, it's the model. It basically is the model. So it's at askggg.com/ A like Apple, T like Tom, V like Victor, thanks, THANKS, ATV book. ATVBOOK, all one word. Just go download that. It's not even going to take you to the opt-in page. It'll take you straight to the PDF. It's a 32-pager.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, that is something that I thought about related to that. And even one of my other books that will be launching, I did a pre-release earlier this year, and I'll be launching it at the end of this summer for some events called Into the New, and it's part of my mindset series. And so a number of my books are not on Amazon. I plan on getting them uploaded onto there because I use them during my talks, during various trainings and things like that. But I do plan on offering them to the general public, if you will, here starting the end of this year. So two of them.
How
are,
many
a
books
few of them
do you have?
I've written seven. A few of them are ones that I've contributed to that are bestsellers on Amazon on the One Habit series. One Habit of the Happiest Achievers on the Planet is one, and then One Habit for Women Action Takers is another. And then my most recent one, I wrote Chapter 4, a book with Greg Reed called Power of Proximity. And there I talk about some of the seven L's of success that is in the Flint Out Loud. And then the other ones are poetry books and one about my mission to Africa that I just mentioned. So mainly what I will be doing now are launching, I'll be launching my books related to mindset and leadership, because I do a lot of mindset and leadership training face-to-face and online. So mindset, leadership, as well as a few other subjects that are more technical. So those will be some of the ones that will be coming out this year, next year, and the rest of my life, basically.
That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Crystal's pretty cool. She's done some amazing things. She also has a leadership women's like retreat summit awesomeness happening on Saturday. Crystal, why don't you go ahead and share what we're all doing? I'm actually very privileged to be a part of it and invite you all to join along. It's pretty fun. So go ahead, share.
Okay, great. Thanks, Andrea. So, yeah, we're having a global mindset summit on Saturday, May 30th, and it's for women. The one for men will be in July. But this two Saturdays from now, we're having a Global Mindset Summit. So we have very, very awesome, fabulous women from four countries that will be presenting related to mindset, emotions, and mental health. So as we close out Mental Health Awareness Month, I just really felt led to get women together who have proven techniques for, you know, how to overcome and who have actually shown how they overcome in their life. So I have asked them in our pre-calls to do something called purposeful vulnerability. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we've all been through a lot of things. And so some women, though, are out there, including us sometimes, you know, feel like we're alone. Feel like, you know, we feel like no one has been through what we've been through, and oh my gosh, how am I going to make it? And whether you're a 5, 6, 7-figure earner, that doesn't matter. What matters is that sometimes you just get overwhelmed. Sometimes you have anxiety and depression. There's over 264 million people who've been diagnosed with anxiety disorders, and those are only the people that are diagnosed. And so you think about everyone who is out there who has various things going on. Even PTSD was brought up by one of the people that submitted, you know, some things that they needed help with. So we're going to be providing hope and ways for people to shift and soar with all of these interviews from these 20 beautiful women from across the world on May 30th. So it's an online summit, and you can register for it going to the Global Mindset Summit 2020.
Super fun. Great information.
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity to briefly meet some of the women on one of our pre-call, and you know, they're really amazing people doing amazing things from all over. And so it's really exciting to, you know, have that enrichment happening, especially when it's Mental Health Month and Keep Smiling Week. So lots of really good things happening for a lot of really great people. So super excited about it all.
Yeah, I'm excited, too. And, you know, the fact that everyone was just so willing to be able to help and support our women, you know, our women across the world. It's been awesome. I'm really, really, really looking forward to it. I can't even explain how excited I am.
Yeah, I'm excited about it as well. And the outreach that we can have and what's becoming and what's happening. So tell us what's in the future for you. What haven't you shared with us that you've been, you know, holding under wraps, and the whole world is waiting for this blossoming butterfly to come out of its chrysalis?
So part of what I do related to mindset and leadership is this whole thing related to fear. You know, I've had fears in my life. We all have had some kind of fear. I'm really a student of Napoleon Hill, who talks about the various types of fear of rejection, the fear of poverty, you know, like all of those. And so what I am doing now is really helping people to come out of their shell in my coaching and counseling and help them to write books. And so we are going to be launching, the page is already set up related to our Book Writers Club, but we are going to be inviting people to not just have where my clients are all writing their books, but they help other people as well to come into this community, where we'll have people such as yourself, whether it's publicists or people who do editing or do various things related to writing, can help these people in this group to get out of their shell and to stop procrastinating and get their books out. So a number of the people that I work with have some really, really awesome experiences that could help a lot of people. And so that's one thing that is coming up, is that Book Writers Club. Another thing is related to our Mindset Hill magazine. So that will be launched in October, and really looking forward to that, because we will be able to have women such as all of these amazing people that will be at the summit supplying information to us about emotions and mindset and mental health, mental illness, and a number of things that just happens in our mind, and greatness happens in our mind too. So it's not all negativity. It's about what can we use our mind for and how can we use our mind more effectively. There's a section for October issue, which is one of the exclusive sections that's already noted on the front cover, related to the mindset of billionaires. And so I actually had opportunity to talk to several of them yesterday that are going to be on my show, and I have a network of them, believe it or not, of people that that I associate with that are really happy to share information. So whether you're a millionaire, multimillionaire, or billionaire, we want to have that information to help people understand how do they think and how did they get to where they are. And a lot of it, Andrea, it has to do with their give back model. It's not just all about making money. And so I love, love, love on my show as well as in this magazine talking about the mindset of people who give back.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I'm all about. That's what I've taught for years as well. It's a very powerful, powerful concept. And the business model I was mentioning in my Amazing Traffic Vortex book, it's a model for serving while strategically monetizing so that you can build the strategic plan overall and then step back knowing that the money is going to come because of the planning and just serve and do nothing but serve to the very best of your ability. It's extremely powerful, and it is why so many people are so successful.
Right, and yeah, I really believe that, and thank you for sharing that, because that's right directly in line with my thought as well. And a lot of it just has to do with putting it out in the atmosphere, really. I am a Christian, and I do, you know, pray every day. We read our Bible and do our study and prayer every single morning with my husband and I. And part of it has to do with, you know, what are you putting out in the atmosphere? What are you telling God that you want or need? And then doing that, it relates to what is stated in this book, The Power of Proximity with Greg Reed, is that it just comes. If you are in proper alignment, if you are in proper alignment, it will come. It will come. And it may not come how you thought it would come, and that definitely is the case for me. It doesn't come all the time. Like, I try to align myself with this person or be friends with that person, you know, when I was growing up, or, you know, I had my idea of how things would go, and it didn't always go like that. But you can't ignore all of the people that are coming to save you off of that raft because you felt that it should be done a different way, you know, and you have heard that analogy where the guy, he wanted to be rescued, but he thought it should be a certain way, but all these people were coming to rescue him, but it wasn't the way that he thought, so he rejected them. So we have to really, really be open-minded, and that has really helped me a lot in my life.
Beautiful. Yeah, it has me as well.
Very beautiful. Setting your intentions in the morning with your faith and your world and how you're going to portray is certainly something amazing. I had an interesting story the other day that I heard. A gentleman named, I believe his name is Tom Windecker is their last name. His dad was an oral surgeon, and they took an airplane flight, and while he was on a plane, he had a thought, I wonder if we used composite, meaning, you know, what you would use in dentistry, could we make planes invisible from radar? And he realized that if he would set the intention with his mind and what he wanted to receive from the world, spirit, God, you know, however you want to word that, at night, and then go to sleep, he would wake up in the morning and then write what he had received. And he ended up working with the government and creating the first E5 or E3 stealth airplane that could not be seen on radar, and that ended up having 49 patents. And it was because of his ability to set intention and receive the gifts that were bestowed upon him. So you mentioning that, Crystal, made me think of that story and how cool that is. And for you, you know, that's what you're doing. That's how you're able to really make an impact on so many people's lives and their hearts and their souls all over the world. And who knows what other outreach you're doing that you don't even know that you're doing. Yeah, we don't even know who you're reaching.
and you really don't. Like, people will send a comment, or like people who, there's this one person who hadn't spoken to me in 5 years because of something I told them. And another hadn't spoken to me in 10 years, and then they got back and just thanked me because no one else had ever said that to them, and it was just so shocking to their system at that point. But it really made them into a better person. And so when you get those, and you don't always get those people contacting you back. So So that is something that really, really helps you know that you're doing the right thing. But setting intentions at night, that is part of what I talk to my coaching clients about all the time. Writing it and saying it out loud and really putting it under your pillow. No, it's like all these different things you can do. But at night is so, so key. And if I tell them to keep a pencil and pad next to their bed, some people are into typing it into their phone. But for the method that I use, you have to actually write it out because it goes into a different spot into your subconscious. So if you wake up at 3 a.m., 2 a.m., 4 a.m., because there is a thought, that is a message being sent to you related to something that is connected to your greatness. So you need to write it down and not just roll over and go back to sleep. I've had so many different things that I've solved and resolved based on things that have come to, and even created. I write music. I don't know if you know that, but I write music. And
well,
so
I was guessing when I saw the recording, I was like going to ask you next. I'm like, what else did we not know?
A whole anthem came to me at 3 a.m., six-page anthem. And so, you know, and part of it, too, is equations in how to resolve something for a client or something going on with my family. Like, when things come to you in the middle of the night, and write it down, because some of those will come back, but some of those you roll over and go to sleep, and you'll never get it back again. So discover your greatness and embrace it, even if it comes in the middle of the night.
That's amazing. Super amazing, super fun. And all right, so the choreographer too, so tell me more about that.
You're just going to go like to all the sections, all the compartments of my life, huh?
Well, I'm just waiting for us to have a full music video.
And we can, and we will. But yeah, some of mine are actually on YouTube. But yeah, I do choreography. And so I, as well as teach music and we have a community choir and a community dance team. And so we do religious events. We've danced at the Capitol. We've done NBA games, halftime and pregame. I was involved in a group. We sang for one of the 9/11 tributes at the Cardinal Stadium. I've had my anthems done by 100 voice choirs at university and other community groups. I have a religious CD out, teach dance here. I taught in Barbados, Bahamas. I taught in Jamaica. I taught various places in Africa, dance and music. So it's a big part of my life. So some people go to the gym. I don't go to the gym. I dance.
Wow, that's lovely. I love that. Well, you would love to come to my house.
Andrea.
We have a jukebox in our room. Yes.
Like I said at the beginning of the show, she's just a total slacker. Unbelievable.
Yeah, laying around eating the bonbons. I know, it's crazy. You know, and I'm excited to know you. And now that I'm here, you know, these are things that, I mean, I read them about you, Crystal, but we haven't had the time. We're really busy working on other things, so we don't have the time to get to know each other on a personal level. And, you know, I sing as well. In fact, one of our Keep Smiling ambassadors, and now he's going to be an author as well, found out that I like singing. So the man has called me, I think, 3 or 4 or 5 times now and serenaded me. And so I said, well, how about we sing together? And so now he's been calling me. And so we sing a song together. And it's quite fun. I've been in over 60 productions in theater, and then did a living history presentations of women in history. So we would take women from in the past and then present them as if they were, we were speaking on their behalf, both living and dead. And it's super fun to be able to incorporate all that stuff into our world. And personally, I would like to live my life as if I were in a musical. So that would be, to me, that it is my ultimate goal, to just live in a musical. So at any point we can break out in song and dance, and everybody else can, you know, follow suit. It would be perfect for me.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That'd be awesome. And that whole singing thing you mentioned about the guy online, I did listen to his song, and then I was walking around singing. I'm like, I need another stinking song in my head, because I'm like, come fly with me, because I'm like, oh my God.
Fly so, me to I, the moon.
Yeah, yeah. So, and because you know me, Andrea, and how I am about business, I have a business proposition related to that whole singing thing that I need to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
good.
My mind went straight there, but yeah, I love music. I love the arts. My mom and my dad had us doing that, and they both were very creative and in singing and dancing. And he was a really great artist, just a personal artist. He didn't have his stuff published, but he would take a piece of soap and draw this big, huge cartoon mural thing with beautiful words to my mom. You know, some mornings she would wake up and the whole mirror would be covered with all this stuff that he wrote in the bathroom to her, and just and then other cartoon notes that he would give us. And so I end up drawing and sketching like him. And one of my sketches actually ended up being, there was a friend that is a dentist that needed a logo. And so I drew a lion whose tooth was broken, one of the long tooth lion, cyber, whatever the kind of tiger that was, saber tooth tiger. And his tooth was broken and he was sad. So that was part of one of the things that they wanted to have, like a happy and a sad kind of a thing. So a dentist's office was using that and had it all over their literature and shirts and stuff like that too. So had a couple things like that happen in my life too.
Yeah, that's super fun. I love that you're able to play and be creative and create things. So with your creativity, you're able to do both a right and left brain things and bring them together so that people have that full capacity to be able to experience and learn and enjoy and bring all that into their life. You know, I kind of have an odd question for you. I've never asked anybody this on this show before. If you could wave a magic wand, what is the end goal for you?
The end goal for my life?
Yeah. Goal for your life's purpose.
Yeah. So as I mentioned at the beginning, is that I am here on this earth to help people be better versions of themselves, and also to help them to become who they can be and who I can be by fulfilling my role as a Christian. And so part of it is, if I could wave a magic wand and have where I'm at the end of my life, or however it was that you put it, my hope is that I helped everyone that I was supposed to help. And that by doing so, they saw God in me and they developed the relationship with him for their life as well. So I'm here to help people in any way I can and help his light to be seen in my life.
That's amazing. That's pretty exciting. Yeah, I love it. How will you know when it's complete? I'm really asking you deep philosophical questions.
Well, no, but they're not. I mean, these are things, it's really not, Andrea. This is stuff that I think about every day, you know? So it's never complete. It's only going to be complete when he says that it's my time to leave this earth. So I'll always be trying to be a better person myself. I have flaws. I have different things that I know I should be doing better and sins I need to you know, ask for forgiveness for. And so I'm always trying to be better. But my husband, he sometimes brings me to tears almost if he's ever the person that has to introduce me when I speak, you know, because of the different things that he says, that, you know, she's a person who treats the billionaires she knows the same as she treats the homeless people. She treats everyone with respect and honor and tries to help anyone and everyone that she can, you know. And so it's never going to be done, because I'm always going to help whoever I can help and give them the shirt off my back if that's what's required. And, you know, we've had people living with us, you know, for various reasons, and we give people vehicle or, you know, a lunch or, you know, a smile or a hug. You know, we do whatever it is that we can do for people. And so it's not for form or fashion. It's not anything I normally discuss, but you asked me, but because that's just my private life. You know, I just do whatever I can do. And I'm thankful that I married someone that was the same as how I was raised, that, you know, he'll do the same thing. And so sometimes we're very extremely tired at night because we've done so many different things out in the street, helping a senior or going to take somebody something across town, or, you know, it just kind of depends on what comes up that day. That is always on our schedule every day. If somebody calls, we're going to do our best to be there.
Nice. I love it. Yeah. Boy, that isn't that exciting when you mentioned that you're having your husband, you know, say something about you. When the people that we love say things about us, it is so cool to hear them, because not everybody gets that opportunity to hear things or know things. Just the other night, I had to call somebody that I for something for business. And while I was on the phone with them, they shared something that someone else had shared about me that they had never told me. I had never known that, never experienced that. And I think, oh my gosh, how amazing my world would have been had I known that all along. And it's like, and it made me realize, as a child, I felt like I didn't get hurt. I didn't hear the things I needed to hear. So like now, if I'm walking down the street and someone's beautiful or attractive or does something smart or parents well, or, you know, in my opinion, and it's a positive compliment, I go over and tell them. Like, I'll go over to a table at a restaurant and say, hey, I just wanted to take a moment to tell you that I watched you engaging with your children and how they acted out and how you parented them. And I'm just so in admiration of how you made the child not only hear what needed to happen, but made them feel loved in the same moment. And so I just wanted to acknowledge you for that. And or I'll say, oh, I just wanted to let you know that you're I mean, sometimes it's awkward when I say it to men. I say, first of all, please let your wife know, or your girlfriend, or whoever's in your life, that a woman today wanted to express to you that you have really beautiful eyes, or a beautiful bald head, or whatever the word, you know, whatever compliments that I have, and say, yeah. And I normally wouldn't tell you that because it sounds a little awkward, but I'm telling you that because it's a compliment of you, and I think you need to hear it rather than just my own mind.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing. So I am so honored that, you know, I mean, I briefly met your husband, a little brief moment there at Secret Knock for Women. And what a handsome man he is, and what a great heart he has. So you, and your kids, oh, my gosh, talk about gorgeous people, having gorgeous offspring. You know, you have an amazing family as well. So not only beautiful in looks, but beautiful in heart and spirit. Mm-hmm. So we have like maybe 6 or 7 minutes left, Gina? Maybe 5 now.
Yes, about that.
Sorry about
that.
Had done
okay,
you.
Cool. That's okay. Gina has an adorable little dog, Popeye, and she also lives on the water, so these big barges and stuff come through. She has a beautiful view while she's on these programs with us, so it's amazing. So she mutes herself so we don't hear all that noise in the background. And, you know, with the time that we have left, you know, given what you've been sharing today and what you see happening in our world right now, what would be the advice that you give to people for their mental mindset right now to help them accept what's going on as a positive?
Yeah, so it's important for all of us to be realistic, also try to find the positive in everything that we do, right? Because, you know, otherwise, you know, we could be where it causes the anxiety and depression and isolation, where, you know, things happen to us physically and mentally, spiritually, and all of those, if we isolate ourselves and feel like we have no hope. So I would say for everyone is to just do something every day that you, again, I'm about the pencil and the paper. So just do something every day that you can write down that will be your at least one positive thought and positive act per day. so that you don't have to be overwhelmed. But, you know, what is something that I can think of that can help me remain positive today? And what is something that I can do today that is positive? So I call it self-care and selfless. Self-care and selfless. So for self-care, I am going to go and take a walk down this beautiful street and just breathe in the fresh air and enjoy the flowers and just look at every single flower as I go by. That's what I'm going to do for self-care. And then for selfless, even in, you know, how we have to live today with masks and gloves and some people that are not doing that, but, you know, we need to be more careful. There's still things that you can do for someone else. So whether it's a text message or whether it's an actual call, you actually pick up the phone and call someone, or whether you mail out a letter, imagine that, as opposed to an email, like mail them a card, or help someone wipe their cart down, or call a senior citizen and see if they need something, you know. So both of those is what I would like for everyone to do, be where you have self-care and you also employ selflessness.
Awesome. And how do people reach you? How do they know more about you?
So I have my website is my name, which also would help you to get to the various businesses that I have, whether it's the radio show or my books. So my name is crystalrichardson.com. It's KrystyLlE. Richardson, RichardSon. So crystalrichardson.com is how people can contact me. If they directly want to see what I do from a business perspective, I have a number of websites. The main one, though, is buildthatbiz.com. That's buildthatbiz.com. And then I am on Facebook, Crystal Richardson, on Facebook, and on Instagram, it's I am Crystal. I am KrystyLlE.
Lovely. Very, very beautiful. It's super, you know, fun to have you here. Super important to me that you've been infiltrated into my world in the most positive way possible. And so happy to share you and what you're doing with everyone else so that they can experience you and have you in their world and touch their lives. And Gina, I turn it over to you.
Oh, I think we can just end it early unless Crystal has any final words of wisdom for our listeners.
Oh, Andrea is always going to fill space. we want to remind people they can join us. They can join us for National Keep Smiling Week by being an ambassador of the Keep Smiling movement. Go to Facebook, The Keep Smiling Ambassadors, where we have a public group. We'll be doing fun things. We're having different people on the site and ambassadors doing everything from putting up videos of song. I'm going to be doing some mindset and NLP opportunities for people for free, leading some hypnosis and meditation so that people can be happy. We're going to have daily inspirational smiles and stories, maybe even do some Facebook Lives, interviewing some cool people. We don't really know what all we're creating. We're creating it as the community says that this is what they need in order to have happiness and be inspired by smiles. And this is what they need to help their businesses run and to help their families, you know, love and be connected and their communities to be knitted together. So it is developing as we speak. So, and to learn more about us, you can go to thekeepsmilingmovement.com, thekeepsmilingmovement.com. And we also have fun shirts and cool things that say keep smiling in the works as a thank you to Crystal Richardson for making that happen. So just reach out to us and say, hey, I want to know what you guys are doing and I want my life to change. I want Gina Gaudio Grace to help me consult and help me get some great JVs going and have Divisio change my income situation. I want Andrea Adams Miller to help me with my publicity and business consulting. I want Crystal to map out some really cool things for me and give me the mindset I need, and all of them to give us smiles, and we'll come running. So thank you so much, Gina, for that opportunity.
You are welcome. And you filled time because we are out of time. Andrea and I will be back next week, same time, same place, for another episode of Leverage Masters. And Crystal, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a blast this weekend, ladies.
Thank you. Thank
Wonderful.
You so
thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Tune in next week for another episode of Leverage Masters. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook on our Leverage Black Book page to keep up with the latest. We'll see you next time on Leverage Masters.